Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello from an undisclosed location somewhere in North America. This is your weekly Truth Be Told Minuteman report, and this is Robert Hensley, your Truth Be Told Minuteman. Hope everyone is having a great, great week. It just started, huh? It's Monday. So I hope you had a great weekend, and hope your week is off to a great start. First and foremost, thank you so much for sticking with me. Today marks our 75th episode of Truth Be Told Minuteman. That's a lot of episodes. We've covered a lot of really fun topics. Have really enjoyed this. 75, big milestone. Can't wait to reach 100. Hopefully we'll reach, I don't think we'll reach 100 episodes by the end of the year, but, you know, soon. So today's episode, we're talking a little bit about, not a little bit, we're talking everything about Hammurabi's Law, or the Code of Hammurabi. So I've kind of heard of this, I kind of think I know what this is. If you've ever heard an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that comes from the Code of Hammurabi, right? So Hammurabi was a king who ruled ancient Mesopotamia. And sometime around 1700 BC, 1700 years before the birth of Christ, in case you need me to help you with the math there. kind of compiled this code, this legal code, he didn't make it up all by himself. A lot of it is actually kind of a compilation and a revision of certain earlier codes or laws from like the Sumerians and the Akkadians. Hammurabi kind of put his spin on things. This kind of code it set a legal standard really has kind of stood the test of time. These laws then went on to be adopted by other civilizations. His code covered everything from justice in general, property law, irrigation, trade, family, personal injury, physicians and malpractice, building codes, and even property and wage regulations. So, like, this guy was literally writing laws about a minimum wage almost 2,000 years before Jesus Christ ever came into the picture, right? So this is, I think it was kind of pretty progressive stuff for the time, or at least I'm assuming it was. What I wanted to do is I wanted to kind of look through the codes and kind of talk to you guys a little bit about what, what they were talking about at that point in time, and where we get some of our, some of our laws are based on these codes. Here's the stuff that we've all heard, right? The eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So that's all considered part of the personal injury codex. Rule 195 was that if a son were to strike his father, they would cut off the son's hand. If a man destroys the eye of another man, they shall destroy his eye. And if he breaks another man's bone, then they shall break his bone. If he destroys the Again, here's where it gets weird, right? So when they say a man strikes or destroys another man's, that means a master, someone who has status in society, a businessman, a slave owner, a property owner, because everyone else was either a plebeian, right, which are the commoners, or the slaves, or there were freemen who were just slightly under the plebeians, and those were people who used to be slaves, but were now free. But so if you broke another master's eye or bone or took out his tooth, then they would have to knock out your tooth or take your eye or break your bone. But if this was where you, a master, were to harm a plebeian, then you would have to pay a certain, they call it a mina, one mina, M-I-N-A, mina, of silver. And if you did something to, if you broke another man's slave, you had to pay for half of a new slave. And there's all this stuff about, like, if you happen to, like, you know, hit a woman and cause a miscarriage, then you had to pay certain, like, they put a value on the price of the child that was miscarried. And in some cases, of course, in a lot of cases in this in the whole thing, there are a lot of things that could, you know, you could be put to death for just about anything. Yeah, and like if you're physicians and malpractices, like there's one, like if you're operating on a man and he dies, or you destroy his, you know, his health, they just cut off your hand. No big deal. Same thing, when they're talking about where was this other one? Some of this other stuff was like property and the wage stuff. That was the stuff that I really thought was really interesting. So there were all of these rules about, like, if you borrowed or hired an ox or a donkey, and say you have this animal and then a lion comes across the field and kills the animal, that loss falls on the owner. It's not your fault. That was just the owner can't come back on you for the loss of their animal. However, if you are the cause of the death of the animal, then you have to restore animal for animal at your own expense. And if it's an act of God and it just dies and it wasn't you, you had to go to a magistrate and file an affidavit and then you would be free to go. But this is where they were talking about, so minimum wage. So if a man hires a field laborer, he must pay him 8 gur of grain per year. If you hire a herdsman, you have to pay him 6 gur of grains per year. If a man hires an ox to thresh, 20 sila of grain is his daily hire. I thought this was really interesting, was, if you have a slave and the slave says to you, "You are not my master," the slave must be brought into court and the master shall cut off his ear. Right? And this slavery thing was a form of commerce, because there's a law here. I can't find it exactly. I should have highlighted it. But if a man goes into debt, he has the right to sell his wife, his daughter, and or his son, to cover the cost of the debt for 3 years. And then after working for 3 years as indentured servants, then they would be given their freedom. The person who bought them to cover the debt had to give them their freedom. So then the wife and the children became freemen rather than citizens. So that's a little screwy. They had these rules about, like, buildings. Like, if you were a builder of houses and you built a house for a man and do not make the construction sound and the house collapses and or causes the death of the owner, the builder, you would die. They'd just put you to death. Same as murder. But if the builder builds a house and does not make the construction sound and a wall cracks or there is any issue within the construction, the builder must strengthen that wall and make repairs at his own expense. Which I thought was, you know, some of this is just kind of logical. You know, the fact that they had to write it down as a codex. But again, if you don't write it down, and there's this thing where if you are, if you're a merchant, an agent, a seller, and you take people's goods or grain to sell for them, you have to keep receipts. If you don't keep receipts, then they don't have to pay you any commission. So there was this, kind of like responsibility and liability law was kind of included in there as well. There were laws, again, this is 1700 BC, and they've got laws about divorce. So like if a wife is caught lying with another man, they'll bind them and then throw them into the river. But if the husband loves his wife and wants to spare her, they will drown one of his slaves. And if a man has ravished another's betrothed wife who was a virgin and still living in her father's house. So basically, if you rape a girl and you're caught in the act, the man gets put to death. However, the woman would go free. Right. And if a man accuses his wife that she's been cheating, but he has no proof, she basically just has to take an oath in the name of God and go home. She's returned to the man's house. And if a man wishes to divorce his wife because she hasn't borne him children, then he has to repay to her her value as a wife, including the dowry that her father gave him. So she's basically set up as a free woman at that point. If a man decides that he wants to marry a girl and he goes to her father and he's going to pay the marriage fee to the father of the girl, but then he looks and sees another woman that he likes better, all he has to do is say, "I will not marry your daughter," and the potential father-in-law gets to keep whatever the guy brought him, and the other guy is free to marry the other person. A lot of really interesting little things like that. But I thought what was really cool too was that the first part of this code really deals with justice. So if a man brings an accusation against another man charging him with murder but cannot prove it, the accuser is put to death. So if you can't prove that the other person actually did commit a murder, then you're kind of screwed, so you kept your mouth shut. If a man has accused another of laying a spell upon him but has not proved it, then the accused is taken to the sacred river, and he shall be plunged into the river. And if the river kills him, if he drowns, then his accuser gets to take all the gets to claim the man's possessions. However, if the sacred river does not kill the man and the man is proven innocent, then the other guy is put to death. let's see what else here. There were some really fun ones here. And if a man bears false witness in a case and does not establish the testimony that he is given, and if that case is involving life, that man is put to death. So anything that's really, you know, that could lead to the death of another person, if you lie, if you found out that you don't do, they just kill you. And if a man bears false witness concerning grain or money, he himself shall bear the penalty imposed in the case. And this was really cool too. I liked this too. So, you know, the idea of judges being not above the law. So if a judge pronounces judgment, renders a decision, delivers a verdict duly signed and sealed, but then afterward alters his judgment, the citizens shall call the judge to account for the alteration of the judgment which he's pronounced, and he shall pay 12-fold the penalty of the judgment, and the assembly shall expel him from his judgment seat. So, yeah, for just as long as there have been courts and trials and judgment, there have been disbarments. Good to know. Anyway, so it's the Code of Hammurabi is actually really interesting to look at just in terms of how ahead of its time, or maybe it wasn't. I mean, it was, you know, contemporary then. And some of these rulings still feel like they kind of fit now in some ways. Maybe not the eye for an eye thing, but could you imagine how much faster things would move in our court system if that was just, you know, oh, you murdered his brother. Great. Now he gets to kill your brother. Like, oh, you did this. Great. They get to do that. Like, in and out. But yeah, I don't know. So again, thank you so much for sticking around for Minuteman for 75 episodes. I'm so excited. That's such a great number. 75 episodes of short form content for Truth Be Told. I'm really excited. And, yeah, hope you'll join us next week for another live episode of Truth Be Told Minuteman Report here Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Remember, Bonnie Burkhart, Truth Be Told Transformations, every Wednesday, same time, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. And, you know, just so there's no confusion, Bonnie's show is an hour long live, and she talks with yogis and people who are into crystals. And so all of the kind of mysticism, metaphysical kind of stuff, that's Bonnie's show. And then Tony, you know, the original Truth Be Told, where we talk about everything from true crime to aliens to cryptozoology to conspiracy theory to ancient history and mysteries and all that stuff, the paranormal, every Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern for Tony's show. And if you need more information or want more information about what's coming up on Tony's show, or to get a little more information about Tony, Bonnie, or myself, please visit us online at www.truthbetoldworldwide.com. If there's a particular story, or if you've got a hot tip, something you want us to look into, or you want me to look into specifically to kind of talk about on one of our Monday shorts, email me, reportminuteman@gmail.com. Love hearing from you guys. Love getting the opportunity to look into stuff that I hadn't thought of myself. And yeah, until next time, stay true.